Are you overwhelmed by your marketing? You're marketing your business, but where do you invest your time? There's so many different social media platforms, from Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, OnlyFans too, maybe, I don't know. I mean, you have your website with organic SEO and video content and blogs. There are so many options, it's overwhelming. So where do you invest your time? On this episode of Midwest Mindset, we're joined by Dr. Tanya of Payne West, a local business in Omaha, Nebraska, and she opens up about this very problem. But the cool thing is, we're going to give you simple, practical, and effective ways to get your marketing into a place where it's actually manageable. Dr. Tanya, I love just that a name like that. I feel like all doctors should have doctor and then their first name as opposed to their last name. But did you do that because your last name is hard to spell?
Well, actually,
it sounded cool.
Well, it's because there was two of us. There was two Dr. Beckenhauers in the office. Oh, and so that's how we differentiated, because my husband was Dr. Mm-hmm. Kurt and then I'm Dr. Tanya. So that's how we came up with that. But it also adds a little more personal touch for the patients. They feel like they get to know you a little bit more. It's not quite so, you know, stuffy and proper.
Which doctors tend to be stuffy. I mean, you know, doctors and attorneys are interesting bunches. You know, it's like they get all this education, they spend all this money, and then they're just kind of, I don't know, they can go two different ways, two different extremes where they are, the ego takes over. And it's like some doctors I know, maybe it's just my doctors, it's like they're living in this perpetual midlife crisis, and I can't really figure them out.
You know? It's probably due to all the documentation required.
It's great to have you on the podcast. And today we're going to talk about what you mentioned. This in one of the biggest pain points that you're struggling with your business, with marketing, that is something that every business struggles with. So I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you had the courage to come share in this safe space here. First though, tell us about Payne West. And I mean, I know, I've been a thing or two about pain. I've had multiple surgeries throughout my life, but you help people in a lot of different ways, not just in the obvious. I mean, I'll let you run through the services so I don't butcher it. So Dr. Tanya, you got the chiropractic services and massage, but what are all the other different things you do for people?
Sure. So our goal, we created our office, was to be, you know, really the clinic of the future. And so we wanted to bring in regenerative medicine. We want to bring in urgent care, spinal injections, chiropractic, physical therapy, and have it all in one location. So we can take care of everything from, you know, sprained ankles to spinal injections, and give people an opportunity to get well and not just, you know, continue taking a pill or continue getting a cortisone shot until, oh, now I need a new replacement. We actually wanted to help people get better, and having a team approach where you're having all these different types of doctors looking at the patient, all sitting around the table discussing the patient, that model just gets people better. Yeah. The outcomes are better. The patients are so happy. We want to have a really fun, happy environment where the patients come in, get better, get the results. And, you know, they don't have to be like taking pain meds every day or having that next surgery. So seeing that is really fun.
I think therapists and doctors should take the approach where the goal is that they don't ever have to see them again.
Absolutely. Like,
you know,
yes.
I see a therapist or a doctor. Okay. Just to let you know, my goal here is to where we never have to see each other ever again. And that's a good thing.
As
opposed to just this, you're perpetually treating the symptoms instead of the
medical merry-go-round. Absolutely. Yeah.
Which is profitable for a lot of people, but for the patient, not, you know, ideal. Right. So it sounds like just as a business, you have what many businesses maybe don't have or don't know it. They haven't defined it. And that is, you know, the problem that you're solving. So you know how you're helping people, you know how you are improving people's lives. It's pretty clear and obvious to see and what your goals are there. And so that is a first step when you get into marketing. That is a big step that's often skipped, even though it seems obvious from the outside in. It's easy to skip that step and not really know. I mean, how many startups are there that are, they don't know what problem there's. Are they really solving any problem in the first place?
Exactly.
It sounds like a cool idea, but that dials into, you know, what is your mission? What is the vision? What is the core values of your company?
Sure.
And so whenever we're working through marketing, we start there. And then what you mentioned as far as the struggle that you have with the marketing that is a real one, it's what do you take? So you have all this locked in, you know your identity, you know who your ideal customer is, the person that you're serving, but then what? You know, the strategy, the tactics, and how did you describe it? You said, like, what do you do with this budget? Where do you spend this money?
Right.
What platform do you use? Which shady, marketing person do you trust?
Right.
So take us to where you are now with your marketing and talk us through some of those real challenges that I think sure. aren't talked about enough.
Sure. And I agree with you. They're not talked about enough because I think people are afraid to be vulnerable in that space. But, you know, one of the things, like I said, is, okay, we had this concept for this really, you know, clinic of the future. And because that clinic is a little different, that model is a little bit different, we had to really figure out how to, you know, get that message out to the public that says, hey, you know, because a lot of patients will say, oh, well, I have a doctor or I have a chiropractor or I have this. Yes, and keep using those providers. But our clinic is unique in the fact that we are a team. It's a one-stop pain shop. That's who we are. We're getting patients better in that aspect. But really having that 30-second elevator speech where you're telling people the mission, telling people the vision for who Pain West really is, you know, that we had to figure out what that bridge would be. Mm-hmm. And so just getting that message out there that our clinic is unique, our clinic is different, our outcomes are better.
Yeah.
You know, give us a try. That whole message, getting that out, is probably one of our bigger challenges because, you know, these models are like our office, they're all over the East and the West Coast. Mm-hmm. This is where medicine is going. But in Nebraska, we're not quite there yet. So we really had to figure out a way to get that vision across to people and you know, show them and tell them how our office is better.
Yeah. Where do you allocate your funds? What do you do? What tactics do you deploy? And not confusing tactics with strategy is mm-hmm. another challenge. It's an easy mistake to make. People, if you ask, what are you doing for your marketing? Well, we have a Facebook page. Like, well, Facebook is a tactic. Social media within a tactic. Social mm-hmm. media is a tactic. That's not a strategy, you know? And mm-hmm. so what you're seeking here, it sounds like to me, is with your strategy, you have the challenge of we need to educate people mm-hmm. on this because it's a new thing. It's mm-hmm. a new concept, which is something we deal with a lot too with marketing, where similarly, we have kind of a one-stop shop with services that we provide. Mm-hmm. Our approach, you know, with our content box is different than how people approach. So we do have to be able to educate people. And the challenge is, how do you do that without losing people?
Right.
You know? Because you mm-hmm. will, as soon as you start to educate somebody in your marketing or advertising, you've lost them. So how do you do that? And I'm curious how, because I want to share a couple things that I think would be very helpful for you and our listener. That is, how are you telling that story? How are you, when you are trying to get that message out, mm-hmm. How do you approach it? And I want to think like on simple kind of basic terms.
Okay.
We know how most businesses sell. Here's all the great things about us. Mm-hmm. How do you approach it though?
Well, I think one of the things that we have done a good job with is really showcasing a lot of our patients that have been through our treatment programs. And so we try to get a lot of different video testimonials from patients, written testimonials, showing people out there that, hey, this was a person that was scheduled for surgery, mm-hmm. or this was a person that their wife drug him in here reluctantly. And now look, he's better. He's playing golf again, or, you know, whatever the case may be. We just got a thank you letter or a thank you card from a patient who said, I have not been able to work for the past 4 years. And now because of Pain West, I'm able to apply to jobs and actually get out of the house and work.
So everybody give Dr. Tanya a round of applause because your approach though, maybe you stumbled on it. And that was a really weak applause by our studio. By
yeah.
The way.
Come on, guys.
I was the only one who clapped. But it does deserve applause because you may not know that what you're doing at the time, like mm-hmm. strategically mm-hmm. in advance, but what you're doing is the key. So telling stories is it's the oldest form of marketing, right? Mm-hmm. And with a story, you have some key basic components. You have a hero, you have a guide, and they have a problem they encounter. The guide provides a plan. Do this, mm-hmm. and they're called to action. They highlight the stakes of what happens if you don't take this action, and then the outcome that you seek, which mm-hmm. is a positive result. The mistake that's often made is businesses think they're the hero of the story. And what you've done is approached this how you should, where the customer is the hero.
Absolutely.
And so the customer is the hero, the business is the guide. And mm-hmm. it's a tough pill to swallow to say that nobody cares about your business except for you. Your customers don't care about your business. They care about what your business can do for them.
Exactly.
How can your business improve their life? Mm-hmm. And so what you've done with your great job of like testimonials and showcasing examples is you've allowed people to see the end result in this for themselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that person has back pain. I have back pain, and look at them. Look what mm-hmm. they did.
They can
that
relate.
Could be me. And so you're painting this picture. You're showing them in very real terms what the end result of coming to you is.
Absolutely.
And so telling that story is I think you're doing that 100% correctly. So keep doing that. And then showing people what that end result is.
Yes.
We were just joking around about drug commercials in the before the recording here today, and how to most people they make no sense because it's just happy people frolicking in a field. You're like, well, what does this have to do with this type 2 diabetes?
Yes.
What they're doing is they're showing you this is what your life looks like mm-hmm. when you don't have to worry about your type 2
exactly.
diabetes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Drug companies tend to do it in a more of a manipulative way, maybe for a higher profit margin, but that's a
show for a whole nother day.
That's a whole different show.
We can do a whole podcast on that.
You can do it for genuine reasons, mm-hmm. you know, where like you're helping right. people and for real authentic motivation. Mm-hmm. Your intent is good. So you have your kind of basis, your basics, your foundation mm-hmm. laid. The problem that you run into that you mentioned is like, where do we go next with our tactics? Mm-hmm. Like, what do we choose? Like, tell us like, has your been strategy to date? And we'll like, kind of, you're gonna have to keep being vulnerable here. So
okay,
I appreciate
that's okay.
it. But what made you choose the social platform? What made you choose this tactic or not? And if you haven't chosen, if you're just like, we don't know really where to go with it, mm-hmm. That's fine too. I think that's an answer in mm-hmm. and of itself.
Sure.
So give us a kind of a framework there of what led you there and where you're at right now with your tactics.
Sure. So obviously, you know, social media is, everyone has to be on social media. But we also had to dial down because we had to say which platforms are we able to do a good job with? Because if we're just saying, okay, we're going to be on this one and this one and this one, you can't do a good job on every mm-hmm. platform. So we said, okay, we're going to pick the top two, like whether it's Facebook or Instagram. Now we are looking at potentially TikTok just to have just two or three that we kind of say, okay, we're going to do a great job with these. And, you know, what do people respond to? So a lot of the times, like you said, you kind of touched on the hero and the guide. I always use the example like a mechanic. Like, let's say I have a flat tire. I don't want to go into a mechanic or whomever and have them tell me all the great things about their shop and all the credentials that the guy has.
You know how they can fix the tire.
Yeah, you know, that means nothing to me. Can you fix the tire? Mm-hmm. And you know, we had to really change our mindset and say, okay, that's what the patient's looking for. I can say, here's all my credentials, here's all my, you know, postgraduate training, da da da. The patient doesn't care about mm-hmm. that. All they care about is, can they fix my back?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
And so we had to really start looking at our marketing strategy a different way, saying, we need to relate to the patient, get on the patient's level and say, here's what is wrong. Here's the solution.
Yeah.
And so once we started looking at our marketing from that lens, then things kind of started to click together a little bit better.
Yeah.
So that's one of the strategies that we took on was, you know, we need to relate to the patients and say, here's your symptom. Here's how we can help you and go from there.
And that's another thing that you've done a great job with in picking your platforms. Another mistake we often see is that it's almost like a FOMO. We think we have to be on every channel. Mm-hmm. And I tell people like, you do not be, what was that movie? Everywhere, everything, everywhere, all at once. Mm-hmm. That's most people's social media strategy. And guess what? It doesn't work, mm-hmm. right? Unless you've got a marketing team or you've hired an expensive agency to do it all for you. Mm-hmm. And even then it can produce lackluster results if not done right. You're just posting to post, you're just mm-hmm. there. What most of the time happens is you have platforms that just become dead channels. They're mm-hmm. not even active. And so then it's like having an empty storefront people walk into, and somebody reaches out to you on a platform you're not checking the messages on. Well, now you've just ruined that impression and your
right.
relationship, and they're not ever gonna come back to you. Mm-hmm. It's like walking into a storefront and all the shelves are dusty and dirty. There's nobody behind the counter. Like, are you gonna come back to that store? No. And instead, what you're doing is what I recommend is sticking to start with your primary channel, have a secondary channel, just start with one even. Mm-hmm. Do a great job with that one, mm-hmm. dominate that one, get great results with that one, then add the next one.
Right.
You know, you don't have to be posting everywhere. That it's always, if you can just ask yourself the question like, okay, what is the end result I'm trying to get out of this? Mm-hmm. Why am I on this channel? Can mm-hmm. I, other than saying, well, everybody's on it. Like, mm-hmm. what is the true reason I'm on this particular social channel. And with yours, did you look through, did you build out like an ideal customer, like a buyer's persona? Did you, for the, cause you have different people, so you're gonna have, but say 70% of your back patients are gonna have usually at least three commonalities. And you can build kind of a persona that it doesn't alienate anybody outside of it, but at least gives you some focus. Did you go through that process with a persona at all?
We have talked about who our number one demographic is, because just, you know, being a business owner, that is something that people will ask you, like in the sales and marketing world. But, you know, we do have such a diverse patient base that it is hard to kind of pinpoint. But, you know, definitely, I would say, and again, we see all different types of patients, but, you know, definitely more of the, I'd say like a middle-aged female is probably the number one patient that walks through the door.
Well, and here's a tip, and this will help. And this is one here that with, we think of like a buyer's, what's called a buyer's persona, ideal customer persona, like all the same thing, where you dial it in and you try and get, I say painfully specific, where it's uncomfortably specific. And you're like, you have to give them a name, a specific age. Basically, you describe them the way you would describe yourself. I mean, I wouldn't walk into the room and say, hi, I'm a male or female, 45 to 70 years old. I may or may not have kids. I mean, you, I would tell you how old I am, which I'm 27, if you were curious. Well, it's not funny, but no, 28, I can't lie. But you want to be specific. The reason is that that's the only way you're going to resonate deeply with that specific individual, right? They need to feel like they are one in a million. This business was made just for them. That's when you build trust and you have a connection, a bond that's unbreakable for the lifespan of that customer. And so the thing is, though, it is intimidating. It feels counterintuitive because you say, well, I want to serve everybody. I've got a wide range of clients. Like I can't just pick one person. And the trick or the secret there is to not think of it as your entire strategy as one person. Each campaign has one person. So,
oh, that's good.
For example, let's say you mentioned like a 42-year-old female who has back issues, played sports in college. You have a campaign built for them. So that means, you know, they're probably not, they're probably on Facebook, maybe not so much TikTok. You can decide which channels they are. Like if you're a business to business company, you would want to leverage LinkedIn more than you would Facebook and Instagram, especially YouTube. If it's a, if you're education and informational content, YouTube would be your primary channel for that. But you can tailor campaigns specifically for them. And then you can create other personas. They say you have a 50-year-old male who also has back problems, but he's totally different. You know, if you have, if I'm trying to target women who are pregnant, that's totally different than targeting women who are moms, who've already had kids. Two different messages. And that's what I wanted to get into next is the three core elements of any campaign or any marketing strategy. And that would be who your ideal, your target market. So who is the specific person you're targeting here? And what is the specific message you want to deliver? And then what media, what form of media, Facebook, it could be a blog article, could be a video, are you using to reach this person with your message? And so look at it like as campaigns, you can really specify it. The reason is that's going to resonate with people. It's going to be effective. It's going to work for those people. Sure, if I'm not a pregnant woman and I hear an ad, it's like, well, that's not for me. But there are other ads I can hear or other content that I can consume that is going to be for me.
That's really smart.
It's really going to work well. So that's an easy, it is intimidating. I say, what, who's your, who do you want to come into your business? Well, I want everyone. And when you say that, what you're really saying is, I want no one. Like no one is my cousin. Like, because we aren't serving everyone on the planet. So it's not really even true. Dialing it in individually, I think it just kind of helps that because it does feel counterintuitive, I'm sure.
Right, right. I like that though. That's really smart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, every now and then I have a good idea.
Yeah.
I just read lots of books, so I can't even take credit for it. So then how do you choose the different tactics that you deploy? And what are those tactics? Let's start with that. So like, I'm sure you're doing a lot of these things like, you know, social media. You, each channel can be its own tactic. You have video content, which, you know, every social channel is a video platform anymore. You have your website content, so search engine optimization and having written content, video content to show up in those search results is basically what that is. And then other, like a podcast is what could be one. I mean, there's so many different tactics. You can do paid advertising. That's a, you know, your search engine marketing. And so a lot of different ways that you can approach this, but does it feel to you like overwhelming, there are so many options and you feel like maybe all of these options all of these social media channels could work, and you don't really do. Is it hard to pick and decide? Because I think that's what you mentioned early on. Like, that's the thing that's like, where do we invest our time and resources? Which one do we pick? Can't do all of them. It's not realistic. But which ones do we pick, though? Does that feel like resonate as a real challenge?
It's a huge challenge because, you know, as a business owner, and as a practicing doctor, like, I'm seeing patients, I'm running the business, I'm doing all of this. And so I wear many hats in the practice on a day-to-day basis. And so marketing, I mean, that's a whole position in and of itself. So, you know, and I'm not a professional marketer, so it's very challenging because you have all this stuff coming at you on a daily, weekly basis, and it seems like everything's changing all the time. You know, you're dealing with the changes. You know, I'm on Facebook primarily, and even just doing some of the advertisements on Facebook, in the past year, I've seen so many changes already just with, okay, how do we upload the videos? How do we do that? And it's constantly changing. Mm-hmm. So you have to stay on top of it all the time.
Which is an impossible ask. For you in your position.
Yeah, I don't have full time for that. I mean, my husband Kurt is amazing at it. Not just a pretty face. He's
I didn't want to say it. Sometimes if I tell people their husband has a pretty face, then the relationship goes in a different direction. And it's like, what is happening? No.
It's really challenging in that aspect because, you know, you do have to figure out, what is your strategy? How do you express to patients what your vision is, what your mission is, and how you can help them? So you not only do you have to make sure that you're wording it correctly and looking at what are the word choices that the patients are using in their Google searches.
Those are called keywords, which we obsess over here in the nerd, you know, the nerd village that we've created here, where search engine optimization, it's all the search results, it's all based on the keywords. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a keyword is just a word, but you need to show up for those words. And so if I'm searching for a chiropractor, I'm searching for a back clinic, and you're providing that service, you want to show up in those services.
Exactly.
Both in just your general searches, but then also locally, because then you have your Google business profile and different elements there.
And it's dynamic.
Yeah.
It's changing all the time. Is. And so you have to make sure that, you know, you're keeping up on it. It's not just something that, I plugged this in and that's all. You know, when we first started our practice in 2009, we were the top clinic every single way you looked at it. I mean, we were always number one. And then just through time, you know, there's been other clinics and things like that have opened. And so, you know, you have to stay on top of it because if you don't, then you're going to drop down. And
marketing is fascinating. I mean, marketing to me, and I know I say this, I'm biased, but marketing is everything. It's impossible to grow a business without marketing the business. Mm-hmm. And you may think, well, no, I just have people that refer me, people know me. Well, that's called referral marketing. That's marketing. You're marketing yourself. Every day when we go out in life, we're marketing ourselves to other humans. We want to be friends. We want to have relationships. Mm-hmm. So we're presenting ourselves in a way that is going to build trust and create a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So marketing is everything. Marketing is life.
Exactly.
However, even though it is the single biggest pain point in business, you cannot grow a business without it. It is often just kind of set aside and thought, well, it doesn't require as much attention. It doesn't require much expertise or even asking for help with it, like, as we think it does. And the reason is it gets to this basic crux of people think marketing is all about coming up with a creative idea or just being on a social media platform. And you're right. It can get so complicated and nuanced. Every social media channel has an algorithm. They're all different. They're all changing. I mean, Google makes 3,000 changes to their search engine algorithm every year. So usually two or three substantial changes. Facebook just went through a whole shift in their whole algorithm and how reels and stories work. So it's unrealistic for you to like pay attention to all these things. So and to do it with, you know, times 7 or 8, how many different platforms you're on, and to understand SEO and the keywords and the changes with that. And it's just, you can go down this rabbit hole where you just get lost and it feels overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You throw your hands up, you quit. Most people, when I speak at conferences about this, I'll say, show of hands, like, how many people identify with this statement? I hate social media. And it's like 90% of the room, they don't hate it because they don't like watching TikTok videos. Mm-hmm. They hate it because it is so challenging and overwhelming. And the only people that can seem to offer help are those who are the shady people that are just trying to take their money. And so who do you trust and what do you do?
It's hard because I've lost a lot of money with these people that walk in the office and they just like I was saying, they just present this, you know, pretty package of all the stuff that they can do. And you just are like, okay, well, this isn't, I'm really busy. This isn't, marketing isn't what I do. So I'm just going to trust you. And then they drop the ball.
The running joke is that you should hire a new SEO company about every 6 months, because like that's about the return you're going to get. That's when you hit kind of the peak and then they start to phone it in. And that does happen. And we discovered that early on. Our business is literally built on clients, customers coming to us after being ripped off or taken advantage of. So we saw only people coming up with these horror stories. And we were talking tens of thousands of dollars a month just thrown away for nothing, for zero. Not a single lead, not a single prospect, let alone a closed sale. And so it is the norm that it, unfortunately, you're talking about things that are creative and you can kind of dazzle people. And it's almost like we're not, you know, in this right state of mind as a business owner. We're like, oh yeah, that sounds really cool. I'd love for that to happen. And if they aren't on the up and up, which too many are not, it can really just cost you a lot of money. So let's talk, I want to kind of bring this full circle and give you some of these, like, what are the, focus on the basics. What is it? Keep it simple, stupid, right? Okay. So keeping it simple. So if you know who your ideal customer is, if you know your mission, your vision, your core values, you know who you are as a company, and you've tailored that, those buyer's personas, so you can really kind of target them. You also need to get just a general understanding of how marketing works. And, you know, a couple of books, Marketing Made Simple would be one. The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing is a short read. It's written in like the early 90s, so it's very dated in the references. Like it references a Donald Trump from like 1993. So it's kind of a little bit entertaining. However, it is literally the Bible for marketing. Okay. It's 22 laws, just like laws of physics, that have not changed, and they do not change. And there's so many things. Reading a couple of books, consuming some podcasts, and listen to a book while you're working over the weekend. It's not so you can become an expert, just so you have, and I think you already have this, but just so you have a general understanding. So it's not as easy to be manipulated by things that aren't, you know, by people who have ill intentions. But you really want to be invested in it. I would tell people that if you're going to do your own marketing, keep it as simple as possible. It's like you're focusing on one or two channels and really just, you know, diving into that. Don't just try and wing it. All right. When we have a plumber, or we have a problem with our plumbing, we hire a plumber.
Right.
When we want to build a house, we don't build the house, you know? And so it's important to know what your limitations are. And because we think we can be creative and funny, and I'm on social media, we think we can do it. It's you need expertise and experience to do it well. So let's say you can do the simple things yourself, kind of learn. I mean, I was a do-it-yourself learner with everything about marketing. So anybody, if I can do it, anybody can do it. But let's say you don't have the time. Let's say you do need to hire somebody. So here are some of the red flags to look for. So if you're going to hire someone to build a house, they would show you the blueprint of the house. They would show you how they're going to build it. They would lay out in detail where all the money is going, why they're making certain decisions, and they would involve you in the process. For a business like your size, most businesses, small businesses, you're going to need to be involved to some degree, especially in the beginning. There is no such thing as a set it and forget it, unless you've got, you know, 20 grand a month to spend on marketing. And even then, you still need to be involved because you're still the face of the business, right?
Absolutely.
So you, if they come into the picture and they don't offer you a plan, if they're not transparent, if they don't say, listen, we're going to do search engine optimization for you and pay per click, pay digital ads on Google, but then they're not going to walk you through all the research, walk you through the keyword research, walk you through their strategy. If they don't have a strategy, if they're not laying out to a 12 month period, because it is a long game to play, well, then that's a red flag to me. If they also don't offer like regular consistent meetings and follow-ups, depending on how much you're doing and what you're paying for services, it's either weekly at the minimum, monthly, you know, of where you're getting updates on, even if let's say you can't make all the meetings, your schedule, at least having them there where they have to prepare, they have, here's your Google Analytics, here's your Google Search Console. We're going to break down the keywords and give you the context you need, because numbers can just be numbers. They're meaningless without context. And then answering any questions that you have. If they don't do those things or don't offer those things, that is a red flag. And the last thing I would say is a big red flag is if they're unable to explain what they're doing to you in a way that you can understand and comprehend. Because trust me, it's like They use acronyms, they talk fast, they act as if they wrote the algorithms themselves, and they did not. If they can't explain it to you in a way that's just simple, where you can understand and you don't feel talked down to, or you know, it's this kind of smug attitude sometimes you get when with terms like SEO, because it can get in the weeds, but it's also pretty simple to explain the basics of here's what we're doing, here's why we're doing it. If they're not gonna explain that to you, that is another red flag. Mm-hmm. It is possible, and I think we've seen you as a proof of success here, that you can do it yourself. You can do it as a team, but you can also avoid getting like kind of taken advantage of too. Mm-hmm. And do any of those things, do you feel like, does that resonate, those red flags, with maybe what you've seen in those not so positive situations? And does that help kind of frame how you move forward with what you do for yourself and what you do with, you know, any other marketers that you work with?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I've learned is, you know, through the fact that I have lost tens of thousands of dollars on marketers that have come in through the door. And I, you know, because I was ignorant in the marketing world, I just trusted them. But, you know, it's kind of like the emperor's new clothes. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, everyone, they're saying, oh, everything's great. But then I'm like, but what's my tangible takeaway?
Yeah.
Can I literally write down what I'm paying for? And mm-hmm. so that's kind of my new motto moving forward. If someone comes into the office, whether it's marketing or different things, can I literally write down what that fair exchange is?
Yeah.
If I'm giving them a $100 bill, what am I getting for that money?
And that's part of the strategy. So mm-hmm. I say strategy, it's a kind of a big single term to encompass a lot, but strategy starts with what are the goals? It's like you as a business, like what are the goals you want to accomplish?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And then how do we build a plan to accomplish those things? And it may take a month, it may take 6 months, depending mm-hmm. on the plan and then the size of the goals. But it's easy to get in situations where a business doesn't really know what they want. They don't mm-hmm. know their goals, so then they don't share them. The marketing agency doesn't ask for them, and the marketing agency is going to be taking the money and they're doing their thing. And yeah, we can spin the analytics, like social media especially. I can show you how everything is, you know, just rainbows and lollipops, but if it's not, you know, your leads, qualified leads and sales, your conversions, that's all that really matters in the end. And, you know, knowing what the lifetime acquisition cost of a new client, like mm-hmm. how much does it cost to get a new client, and then how much money do we make over their lifetime? And those are things that anybody can kind of do and figure out. But I think they seem daunting, they seem intimidating. And so maybe we avoid them. But that sounds like is something you're doing now that I would encourage you to keep doing mm-hmm. because that's going to be the difference maker. That's how you hold people accountable.
Right. Yeah. Because I've had marketers like that were on the payroll, that were in the office working. And, you know, I'd say, okay, well, let's just kind of sit down and see how things are going. And they'd say, oh, yeah, look at this ad I put out, you know, got thousands of impressions mm-hmm. on Facebook. Okay, well, that's great. But mm-hmm. that didn't turn into one phone call.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you have to have some sort of metric to say, okay, if we're going to have this much in ad spend, I need to have a patient walk through the door or at least spend that.
Even because you're going to have, there's a lot of pivots and there's a lot of learning. So like mm-hmm. you may have an ad that maybe it got a lot of impressions, a lot of views, but it didn't get the clicks to your website. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean you just throw in the towel. The answer should have been, let's pivot. Let's figure out why. Like obviously we hit a lot of people who were interested in watching that. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they click on the link? So it could be, hey, maybe there was the incentive to click on that link wasn't as strong as we thought it was.
Right.
Maybe those who clicked on the link and they went to the page, but they didn't actually submit the form.
Right.
Maybe it's the language or how we have the page constructed. Mm-hmm. So you do need to collect the data and make pivots. That's just how it works. And you're mm-hmm. always going to be making pivots. Mm-hmm. Nothing is ever perfect and you just leave it as it is.
Right.
But you're right. Metrics and having KPIs is that's you can't accomplish anything anywhere with that. You know, mm-hmm. it's just such an important component for not just marketing, but every aspect of business.
Right.
So, well, Dr. Tanya, I enjoyed our conversation today. And
yeah,
it sounds like you're doing a lot of really impressive things that I honestly don't see with a lot of business owners in your position. So I think, you know, through the good times and the bad times, the money gained and the money lost with your marketing over the years. Overall, though, I think a lot of the success you've had is due to your attention to detail and focus on what you're doing with your marketing. So I think good job for that. We'll do one more round of applause for this. There we go.
Thank
okay.
you, thank you.
Yeah. Your husband didn't clap though.
I know. I noticed that. Yeah. I looked over. He wasn't clapping either.
Yeah. Okay. I'll let you two work that out
okay.
On your own. I don't want to get caught in the middle of that. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate
you
having
me
on the podcast.
Me.